Is it time? I don't have a clock. I don't have a watch. It's time, right? Everybody's here anyway. And we are, it says green, I'm supposed to speak. Good afternoon, my name is Michael Nystrom. I'm a consultant from a company called TrueSec, which is located on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. I do live in Sweden. That's the reason to my accent. So, this is about the solution accelerator for virtual machine converters. And I don't work for Microsoft, which means that I can speak a bit more freely. Just a bit, though. Solution Accelerator, how many of you are using solution accelerators today? Anyone using any one of them? Nobody? Solution Accelerator is meant to be a tested guidance and automated tools to make stuff work. Solution accelerators are normally the glue between two products to make things work the way you expect it to work. Yeah, that's another word. So I use a bunch of them. One is the Security Compliance Manager to create group policies for machines. We have others like MAP, Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit. I never go to any customers without running MAP because I need to know what they have before I even start. I haven't done an OS deployment without using Microsoft Deployment Toolkit since it was invented, and I refuse to do it manually. My time is precious. I don't have time to build the wheel again. And now they are releasing the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. It's the first version of it. We do have a representative from the team here, so if you do have questions regarding the team, she's over there. And you're going to stick around so you can answer questions later on. Sorry, wrong keyboard. Right keyboard. The solution accelerators are free, of course. You don't pay for them. They do have a license, as every Microsoft application has. And they are also supported by Microsoft. And there's not many that knows this small part. But if you do use a Microsoft solution accelerator and you do have an issue, you can call Microsoft and say, hey, I have a problem with this. And they are going to help you with it. So instead of writing all your own scripts, you can use the scripts that are scripts and guidance and stuff in them and use them. And if you do have an issue, just call Microsoft and say, I have a problem. So this is a new solution accelerator, which means that it's a new and fresh team and it's not ready, it's not done. The version we have right now is the beta version. There will be a release candidate soon, sometimes in July, I would guess in the beginning of July. It is a free utility for conversion to Hyper-V. It integrates with System Center. You can integrate it using with Orchestrator. You can integrate it with System Center Virtual Machine Manager if you want to. There's no direct connection there, but it's possible to do. It, of course, has a command line utility, which means that it can be integrated in, oh my God, batch files, VB scripts, or if you prefer PowerShell. I prefer PowerShell. I'm still trying to learn PowerShell, by the way. I'm a really bad language programmer, but I'm trying. Download and install, kind of small. 5 megs right now. I guess it will be bigger when it's done. It's a wizard GUI, and it's a command line. It says enables a quick, low-risk way for VMware customers to evaluate Hyper-V. Now, let's break down that to what it actually says. Quick? Yeah, it's fairly quick. The time it takes is the snapshot it's going to do on the VMware machine, copy of that VDMK file, conversion of that file installing the integration components, which means takes about somewhere between 15 to 20 minutes for a small machine, and takes hours and hours and hours if it's really huge, of course. Low risk means it's not going to do anything with the original machine, because they're going to do a snapshot of that machine before they uninstall the VMware tools. And then it's going to revert back to that snapshot after it's done, which is nice. So even if it's touching the virtual machine, it's not going to modify it. So if the customer says, well, you know, if you modify anything on my machines, you're going to be dead. That's not going to happen. So the question is, will it do P2V? At the moment, no. But on the other hand, I know that they do have a roadmap, and in that roadmap, there is something saying P2V. So it's more of a question on when it will have P2V. Hopefully soon, but today it doesn't have that. And this is the goal. The goal is to be able to go into a customer, or as a customer say, I would like to try to run my VMware machines on a Hyper-V machine without fiddling too much with my existing environment, just to be able to evaluate. That's the main purpose right now. There are other things that's going to happen later on, but right now that's the purpose. So the purpose of this session is, of course, for you to understand what you can do with it, what the limitations, the roadmap, how you use the tool, how you use PowerShell to do this, offline disks, all that other stuff. Okay, so just to be very clear on this, there is something called hot migration. Hot migration is very nice. Everything is up and running on a constant basis. Nothing is down at all. The other one is warm. Warm means that the machine is running when we start the conversion, but it will be turned off somewhere down the line. And the other machine will be turned on, and it might be or might not be ready for production. Maybe you need to do something on that machine. We also have the cold version. The cold version means that the machine is off by default, and from the off state, we convert the machine. Solution accelerator that we have today supports warm and cold. It does not support hot. However, during this presentation, I'm going to show you two ways of doing it hot with other tools from Microsoft. It's extremely important to understand why they are creating this. It's not a tool that manages everything right now. So the focus is to be able to convert from vSphere 4.5 and 5 and vCenter 4.1 and 5. So I go back to that. Clean conversions. The focus has been to remove the VMware tools and to automatically add the Microsoft integration services. On a machine that runs Windows Server 2008 R2, not a big issue because the integrated components are within the operating system. But if you do a conversion of a virtual machine that runs Windows Server 2003, then it becomes nasty, because as soon as you click in the virtual console, your mouse is stuck. You need to install integration components. But you can't do that because the mouse doesn't work in a remote desktop. And you're smiling. You've been doing this. And I hate this every time. So it's extremely important that we get those integration components installed so it's possible to spend less than 4 hours trying to figure out how to click with a keyboard to get to the OK button so you can type in the product key on an OEM volume or something. It's also very important to fix the drive geometries because Microsoft has another story when it comes to drive and the drive structure than VMware has. So doing a plain vanilla conversion with a tool that isn't really good, well, in that case, we will have a performance issue on that machine, if it even boots. It needs to have some kind of workflow, and that's why they created the GUI and the command line version of this. So it is PowerShell enabled since it's a command line and it's fairly easy to do it in PowerShell. It also have Orchestrator Runbook enabled because since Orchestrator handles basically anything, we can of course throw it into Orchestrator and do things in that. Nothing fancy. Also, another requirements, I haven't been in your team, but I guess you had a discussion of it should be simple, otherwise people will have a hard time figuring out how to make this work. And this is the fun thing. It is simple. It is really simple. But yet you can do it very advanced if you want to. But it's not really that hard to understand how it works. It doesn't have any dependencies. It's a very small download. It's a quick setup. It takes a couple of minutes to install it. And it's fairly easy to use. When you do one machine at a time, of course, then it's just a click, 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 and you're done. So why is this important? Well, for a customer that would like to evaluate Hyper-V, let's say they are VMware guys at that customer. If they need to spend more than 5 minutes to figure out how a Microsoft application works, they're going to give up and say it doesn't work. I've been a consultant for, 30 years. And if you don't want to learn anything, you don't learn anything. It's very easy. So it needs to be so easy that even people that don't like it can say, I couldn't make it work. So that's why it should be easy, of course. Also support, which is important for large customers. Happens to me all the time. You find a nice application and the customer immediately asks, who will support this application? Is it, it's a free download. Yeah, who's supporting it? I don't know, it's a freeware. Well, in that case, we're not going to use it because we only use supported software. It's going to be support and help desk and forums. You can, of course, call Microsoft Support too. There will be new updates, of course, to support the new Hyper-V platform, to support the new version of System Center Virtual Machine Manager, and to support everything that happens and it's new. VHD and VHDX support. Right now you have VHD support, but it will be VHDX support, I think, in the release candidate you're going to release later on. Okay. So post V1, it's going to be a VHDX support. And today they support Server 2003 and Server 2008 and R2. The version they support today are these. And as you can see, we have something in yellow. That's going to be supported and added on in the release candidate, right? Yeah. VMware's support the following version. I'm going to do the demos on ESXi today. And this is another story because it happens to me from time to time, and I did have a customer last month. They do have ESX3. They do have vCenter. They do have about 260 virtual machines. New Hyper-V cluster. System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2. The easiest way to convert those 260 machines they have is to connect them. Can't do that, because that's going to modify and change the existing VMware solution. And since that is out of support, because they don't have a support contract on it, they're not allowed to do any changes at all. So the only way to do it is to do a tool that doesn't integrate or modify the existing platform. This is not the first time it happens to me. It happens over and over again. We don't touch existing stuff if we don't have support on it, because it's very, you get the point. It supports a bunch of disk types. I can't count all the disk types that VMware has, but so far, every version I tried, every checkbox I clicked works. So I guess most of the most common existing versions of disks is going to be supported, because I couldn't find anyone that didn't work, or I didn't try hard enough, right? The destination today are Windows Server 2008 R2 Service Pack 1. Of course, there will be updates. And updates are in the release candidate, Windows Server 2008 R2 and Windows Server 2012, and support for VHDX files will show up, hopefully. Okay, so Server 2012 is going to be supported in the RC, but VHDX is going to be supported post-RC, right? So how does this work? Well, you basically have three machines. I'm going to do this on two machines, but it is three things we need to do. We're going to run the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter on one PC. Doesn't matter what it is, just Windows. I'm going to do it on Server 2008 R2. Works fine. And then you connect to your vCenter or your ESXi machine. You need to provide credentials to log on to that, and then you pick the correct machine. When you have picked the correct machine, which is obviously the one in the middle, we define the destination, so where it's supposed to end up when it's converted and done. And then we convert the machine, which means that that machine will be snapshot. And then it will be turned off. And then the VDMK file will be transferred to your machine where you run the converter itself, which means that you need to have a folder on that location that is twice the size of the VDMK file plus some. And that is because when we convert things to VHD, they will be slightly larger than the VDMK file. Not much, just slightly larger. So you need to have space. I tried it without space. It blows up. Very strange, right? When it's done, it's going to copy the file and to the Hyper-V host. And it's going to build the machine. It's going to inject the hard drive to that virtual machine. It's going to power up the machine, and it's going to install the integrated components. And I missed actually one thing. It's going to uninstall the VMware tools from the beginning. That process takes the time it takes to copy the file, basically, and to convert the file. It's pretty fast. It has to be very boring to listen to me talking, so let's switch over to demos. That is the end result from the graphical tool. It looks that way when it has succeeded, which means that, of course, I can close this. But let's go into the virtual machine, because this one was the one that I converted. It's going to have the same amount of memory assigned, nothing fancy at all. and it's going to have the hard drive assigned, and it's going to actually steal the exact disk configuration that I had in the VMware machine. And in the VMware machine, I did have multiple SCSI connectors, so it's going to copy those over to mine. They don't have any disks, though. Is there anything missing in this picture? Yep, it doesn't have a network adapter. This is intentionally, it's made this way. It doesn't have a network adapter for the single purpose of, if we do have a network adapter, then we need to make sure that the other machine is really off, no one powers it on. And since this is a tool made primarily for customers who would like to evaluate, we are going to turn off the machine, and they're not supposed to start this. They can log on to this machine, verify that everything works, turn it off, add a network adapter, configure it correctly, evaluate it. So this is just a very safe way of doing it. Because if you do it online, including network adapters and all that stuff, well, the machine is up and running, and it's like, oh my God, we're using the test version, and and I've added a lot of stuff into the database. That wasn't really good. So today, the tool is not intended to do the massive bulk conversion things. We have System Center Version Machine Manager for that today. This is a test tool right now. Most likely this will change because there is an idea inside Microsoft, and that is to collect all these virtualization conversion utilities that they have, disk to VHD, System Center Virtual Machine Manager, Disk Solution Accelerator into one solution accelerator. And that, then use this as a plugin for the other components, which means that it will have a standalone tool that will work in conjunction with the other tools too, but it will always be a free tool for customers to evaluate and test and try and play with, right? So the first time I saw this, it was like, oh God, you know, how could it miss this? Because I need to have the network adapter. But when I spoke with them and asked them why, the explanation is perfectly nice, and I do understand why. So it doesn't today replace the System Center Virtual Machine Manager P2V solution, but it is a free tool that lets you convert the machines. Sorry, wrong mouse. So if you want to run this, which is not really super advanced, here's the first tricky question. I think I'm going to do next on that one. I need the address. And people say you should never use a root account to log on to a Unix machine, right? Works perfectly fine. Yeah, it's much easier. I work for a security company. They are insane. I'm the only one that has very relaxed view of security. It's like, yeah, whatever. I'm an infrastructure guy. I would like it to work. They don't. There's a difference. So it's going to validate my credentials. It's going to do a direct connection to that machine. It takes a while to do that. Then it's going to show me the list of virtual machines that I can. You do need to type the right password, obviously. Let's see if that is the correct password. Nope.
Is it administrator?
No. It's a Swedish keyboard. And now I'm going to show you something that I stumbled upon the first time I was using this. It's going to get me a list of virtual machines. And from this picture, I can see that three of these machines can be converted. Three of them cannot be. The server number four cannot be converted because it's off. That makes sense. But number five and number six cannot either be converted because they don't have a DNS address. They need to have a DNS fully qualified domain name. So how do you get a DNS fully qualified domain name? You install the VMware tools. As soon as you install the VMware tools, it's going to look like number one, number two, and number three. Since they uninstall the tools, this version requires the tools to be installed so they can uninstall that. It's a beta version. They don't handle all the different exceptions that we will have in the real world. Most customers I meet today do have the VMware tools installed on their servers. So I don't think it's a real problem. It could be a demo problem or testing problem or playing problem. But in reality, no, that's not going to be a real problem. My best guess is that you are going to modify code so you handle the exception that if the machine doesn't have the tools installed, that's going to be fine anyway. But I can't guarantee that since I don't work for Microsoft. And it all, yes, question. As far as I know, it will show you every machine that is on that machine, but it will not convert the operating system it can't handle. And this is an ESXi host I'm connecting to. If I was supposed to connect to a vCenter, I would see all the other machines too, of course. Only fun thing about this, it's showing me the fact that these disks doesn't consume any space. These disks are thin provisioned share disks, which is the I don't want to spend any space on my virtual machine, so it's kind of hard to figure out exactly how much disk these machines have. So today it shows up like zero. The first machine, number one, does have independent disks. So that's another reason. And we can see the operating system that is running. So let's say that you're in this screen and you realize the machine you would like to try to convert doesn't have the integration tools installed on. Go to that machine, install them, and then you click on the refresh button or reload button you have up here, and they will show up as possible to convert. Then it needs to have my credentials to be able to log on to that virtual machine, to be able to uninstall the integration components from VMware. And in this case, I'm going to say use my Windows user account. And then I need to specify a folder. This is the folder where the actual disk conversion will take place. I have tried different location. I prefer the SSD drive location because that's pretty fast. But it's possible to do it on cheap disks from Walmart too. Sorry. And now you need to have the the destination, so where is this machine supposed to show up? Well, it's supposed to show up here. Sorry. And I would like the machines to be located in the following folder. And I want to use the dynamically expanding disk. This is just a trial, a play. I can convert the disks later on. It doesn't matter. And I know they're going to change the GUI thing here, so you will be able to see more because there's space here. But then you get this following information. The video memory configured on the VMware guest machine is greater than 4 megs. That's correct. VMware usually have 8 megs of RAM. Hyper-V only has 4. So it's just informing you that since we can't have the 8 megs of with your RAM, you're going to have 4. Okay. The number of floppy, yeah, it doesn't really matter how many floppies you have on the VMware machine. Hyper-V supports 1. You can't remove it. It's going to have 1. End of story. Yeah, but I need to have 0. Yeah, you're going to have N. Anyway, you're going to have 1. And then it says the number of network adapters in the guest VM machine is 1, and it will be ignored. As for now, there is a slight chance that this will change somewhere in the future to be able to just add the network adapter. Today it's possible to do it if you use PowerShell. Because if you use PowerShell, then you can convert the machine, turn the machine off, inject the network adapter, and power it on anyway. So it is kind of possible to prevent this or to work around this issue by using command line utilities or script instead. And, yeah, it's not that hard. I mean, I've been doing virtual machine conversion for forever, even unsupported tools like DDCopy, and that works too. So, I mean, it's not that hard to figure out how to add a network adapter. And when we do finish, it's going to start. It says preparing guest machine started. Okay, preparing. So what's going on behind the scenes? Well, that was number 3, right? As you can see, it now takes the snapshot to protect the virtual machine from having any kind of modification, right? And the longest part it takes, the most time it actually consumes beside doing the conversion of the file, is this. So I was like, how can you make this faster? Well, a snapshot in a VMware machine takes its time, so I can't really improve this performance. It's running on an HP G7 Blade with 32 gigs in RAM and a RAID 1 with 146 SAS drives, 2 of them. So it's a pretty fast machine, but it still takes time. And since this is back home in my office, I couldn't really convince them to run down and buy 2 SSD drives just to make this demo faster. I did try, though. That wasn't too hard to do, right? Can you convert multiple machines at the same time? Yes, you can. Yes, but that's another story. That costs money. And there are third-party tools that are in many ways better, but you really need to understand the purpose of this tool, because I was like you, say, hey, no, there's plenty of tools out there that can fix this. But question? Yes, absolutely. On the machine that I'm doing the conversion right now, that's network. It's hard to see the CPU load right now. Yeah, it's kind of nothing. The reason is it's still doing a snapshot. So the conversion tool doesn't actually do anything. It's just waiting for the snapshot to be done. When it's done, it's going to turn off the machine, copy the file, and do all the magic. With a bit of hope, this conversion will be done when we are done with the session. Okay, so that was the that's the GUI version. Where's my, there it is. So there is a command line version of this too. This command line version has one fun thing. Someone did go to the graphical school because they've decided to add purple. It has two different colors. It depends on when you run it. It's purple when you do the slash question mark, and when you type a syntax error, it switches over to another color. First time I actually see the colorful thing. So if you run it like that, it's very simple. The same parameter that I used in the GUI tool is, of course, exposed as command lines here, which means that if we pick up a text file and I break this down, and I want to run this in a PowerShell script, this is going to be it. In this case, it's, since I'm running an executable file within a PowerShell script, anybody try that? What's the issue? Issue is waiting until the process is done. Yeah, so there are different ways of doing it. Someone pipes out to null, some of them put an ampersand at the beginning. This is a really ugly way of doing it. Since I'm actually using a .NET framework method to run this, this is actually debugging developer tools to be able to run whatever and wait until the process is done. It's very reliable, though, so that's why I'm doing it. And if you do want to have all these sample scripts, they're going to be posted on my blog post after this session has been done, and it's not going to be hard to find that. Just search for the word bunny and deployment. It's going to be the only blog site on the planet that has the combination of those two words. So by using this, of course, we can add things like, I'm going to remove this. If you check this, you're going to realize that that is PowerShell for Hyper-V. So PowerShell is, of course, included. PowerShell support for Hyper-V 2012 is included. But this doesn't support 2012 right now, so we only support 2008 R2. So if you download a PowerShell library from CodePlex, that will give you PowerShell support for Hyper-V. And then you have all the commands. And since I'm going to use variables to get the machine name, in this case it's going to have the $VM name, it's pretty easy to add network adapters. So the only thing we need to do is, first of all, we need to do issue a VM command to turn off the machine or shut it down politely. And then we can add a network adapter, and then we can power it on, which means that we can actually make it have a network adapter. So it's not that hard. So if we want to run this, let's do this. There we have that command, and let's bring up that one. And let's run that. It's going to look pretty much the same. It's going to do pretty much the same. And if you do have any errors or issues, it's going to show up in that command window. So it's not that fancy at all. So we have the GUI version, and we have the command line version for converting machines. But System Center, the Solution Accelerator only supports warm and cold. So what about doing the other stuff? Well, it is possible. You can either use System Center Version Machine Manager, either R2 or 2012. Use either PowerShell or the UI, of course. Or there's a P2V and a V2V, and it's both online and offline. And then we have disk to VHD. Anybody use disk to VHD? Works? It works, right? So is it possible to use disk to VHD as a command line together with the PowerShell library for command line to create a script that actually do a hot migration of a machine? And absolutely, it is. Oh, sorry. I just need to step correctly in the slide deck, though. Using disk to VHD, otherwise I can't remember where I am. I'm going to kill that machine. So here, so boring. Let's open that up. Where is it? There it is. Here's the location of a machine, settings. I'm going to run the sysinternals tool remotely, and then we're going to build a VM machine. So if we perform this one, let's do a copy of that. Do a cancel of that, because it just takes time. Verify that the disks are clean. They are. I'm using PSExec. About half of you should now say, oh my God, why don't he use PowerShell Remote? For the same reason that I would like to not have any requirements on my target. PSExec works on a machine that runs 2003 and 2008 and R2. It works on basically everything. PowerShell Remote means I need to have PowerShell installed. And if you want to convert the machine, it's ugly, you need to convert it. Installing PowerShell on that machine is not really the first thing you want to do. It's very unstable. Yeah, I'm just going to run Windows Update and install a bunch of applications. Look, it's even more unstable than before. So I would like to have something that works with no requirements. So what is happening behind the scene? Well, nothing fancy except for the folders has been created. And if we do a refresh on this folder, you're going to see it's right now snapshotting the drive over the network. Nothing fancy at all. When this is done, the virtual machine will be created based on that disk, and it will turn off the old machine. So I can, with tools that Microsoft have, both do cold, warm, and somewhat hot. It's not perfect, but for the scenario of we would like to try, we would like to test, we would like to evaluate, which is the main purpose, then the tools are there. This is pretty fast. The time it takes here is basically just copy the file. If you want to be really safe and really secure, maybe you want to do a snapshot of the machine before you do this. It's just about adding it in the PowerShell code. And maybe you want to do a snapshot of the new copied machine before you power it off on, so you can revert the changes you were forced to do to make it work instead of doing a recopy of that machine all over again. This can be done. Now it's running on Windows Server 2008 R2, but I also tried it on Server 2012. It's just that I use another PowerShell command. Since they have their own built-in, I can't use the old code for that. But other than that, it's pretty easy. So that's going to take a couple of minutes before it's done. So, of course, you can use System Center Virtual Machine Manager, and that is today the preferred solution when the customer has overcome the I would like to try, I would like to evaluate, I would like to test, now let's do this on a massive amount of machines instead. Anybody tried to do physical to virtual conversation in systems at a virtual machine manager 2012? The biggest problem is to find it. Because it's here. So the question was, do I need to have
the server tools for virtual management, the Hyper-V tools?
No, I don't. I don't need the tools. So the question was, do I need to have the server tools? No, I don't need to have them. I need to have, in this case, System Center Virtual Machine Manager. For the other tools, I don't need anything at all. But for this, I do need System Center Virtual Machine Manager. There is a way of converting virtual machines. And converting virtual machines is very straightforward and very simple. The problem with that is that you do need to add your vCenter. Okay? And it works perfectly fine with vCenter old versions. But it's not supported for the version number 5. And the other problem is that even if you do integrate it, the problem is that you're going to modify the existing solution. So we have customers that run vSphere 5. We can't convert them. We have customers running the old version that doesn't have support. We can't use it there either. So it doesn't work in all times. But we can use this one, which is convert a physical machine, except the fact that it's going to be a virtual machine. So which one should we pick this time? We can take number 6. Demo V2V06. It's going to scan the system to verify that everything is okay and everything is working the way it should do before we convert the machine. A couple of tips is, of course, to make sure that the machine, if you're doing a P2V, doesn't have any hardware applications installed, meaning it's running an HP machine. Uninstall the support pack first. It's running on Dell. Uninstall the Dell stuff first. It's pretty important. Some of these tools cannot be uninstalled after it has been converted to a virtual machine because the vendor has a small filter on the MSI package that says, no, this application is not supported on the current hardware you're running on. No, I'm not running on hardware at all. I'm running a virtual machine. So in many cases, it's hard to uninstall them after the conversion has been done. So in that case, do a snapshot, uninstall the hardware-related stuff, just to make it a bit easier. Then it says, well, you know, this is the information I have. I'm going to see the following things. It's realizing I have a network adapter and the volume is and procs and stuff like that. Next. This is the worst screen I ever seen. And the reason is that everybody goes here and focus on this area up here, and everybody's missing the fact that there's a click button down here when you can define if you want to do a online or offline. every time I do a training on this, every student raised their hand and say, I can't find the button says conversion options. I must be missing it. Yes, you must. It's down on the left. Where? I can't see it. In my opinion, they should change this to have this as a separate screen instead. The only reason you want to do an offline conversion is that the server doesn't really work well for online conversions. What is an online conversion in a Microsoft way, really? It's using volume shadow copy, right? Which means that whatever you're running needs to be working with volume shadow copy. Can anybody think of anything that doesn't support volume shadow copy? Active Directory doesn't support it. So don't do an online conversion. If you have a domain controller, then you do an offline. That's something that works. The online might work. Depends if you have multiple domain controllers or not. If you don't have that, it's going to work anyway because we don't going to have any replication issues at all. But that means also that if you're running a SQL server, turn that off. The server is on, no issues. But turn the SQL off, turn the Exchange off. Even if they support volume shadow copy, there is a slight chance that the database will turn off dirty when you fire it up the first time. And then you're there with a dirty Exchange database, and you need to spend a couple of hours to figure out how to make it undirty, how to clean it up. I don't have time for that, so I turn them off. But what about converting a file server? That's safe. Depends. How long time does it take to convert a file server? 5 hours, 2 hours, 6 hours, a day? Is there a chance that any user will add files during that period of time? Yes. There might be open files. Yes. They could be destroyed. That's correct. To be very safe, switch the file shares into read-only shares, and you don't have that issue anymore. Means that everybody can read the files, but it can't save on the file server until you're done with your conversion. There is an option called turn off the source computer after the conversion. If you're really sure that everything is going to work, yes, this is what you need to have. Identify the number of procs and the number of memory. Of course, when you do P2V, you really need to lower the value. Most of these physical machines has more memory than they should have. It's just that it was cheap to buy them with a lot of memory, but now when we run it virtually, we don't need it anymore. And then we define what server is going to have this machine, where it's going to be located, and the connection to the network. In this case, it's going to be connected to this network. And it's going to check if I do have any issues with the machine. And if I don't have any issues at all, just do next. If I want to start it when I'm done, I'm just going to start it. Otherwise, just create it. This utility doesn't use the network really that intense like the other conversion tools. Disk to VHD and the virtual machine converter is going to maximize the usage of the network. This conversion tool is going to be network friendly. It uses bits to transfer everything. There is a benefit and there is a downside. Downside is time. Bits is not really the fastest one. I've seen faster protocol than bits, trust me. But from the positive side, if you do have a network issue while you're doing the conversion of the machine, it's able to resume that conversion. And if you're going to transfer it over strange networks with address translation, it's going to work anyway. The solution accelerator needs to be on the same network to be able to copy the files, because it's going to copy the file. And disk to VHD also needs to be on the same network or have a direct connection with the machine to be able to copy the files. And you can, of course, see that this is going to fix everything. We go into jobs and check status of that machine. And I know it's a small screen. It's using bits. You can see the time it's going to take. I need to go a click lesson. There you go. It's going to copy the file. It's going to make the operating system virtualizable. And it's going to install the VM components, and that's going to depend on the operating system. No, it's not going to install the integration components on the 2008 R2 if you're running on 2008 R2, because that's going to be the same, but it's going to install these on the 2003 server because they don't have one. So that's going to work pretty nice, and in this case, I've also told it to turn off the physical machine. However, there is a slight bug in this conversion utility they have today. I know they're working on it. It doesn't record the IP addresses when you convert Windows Server 2008 R2 servers. If you convert 2003 servers, there's no issue with the network. So for some customers, we actually do have the old version of System Center Virtual Machine Manager, 2008 R2 version, just to be able to convert the 2008 R servers to be able to keep the IP addresses. So from that perspective, we can see they have the disk to VHD, which is a really simple tool to just be able to create a VHD. But if you wrap it around a PowerShell script, it makes some sense. We have the System Center, we have the Solution Accelerator, that is just starting to grow. And as far as I can see, I'm going to look forward to version 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I think that number 6 is going to be really, really great. And that's going to be next week. We're trying. And we have what we have today in System Center Virtual Machine Manager. But as I told you before, the most likely roadmap is going to be, in the end of the day, they're going to have one conversion utility that is both standalone and integrated with the other System Center products. And I think that was the last. Yeah, that was the last one. So, questions. We're not a really huge audience here, so you may speak freely. Yes?
How do you handle the conversion of 2003 servers?
I can repeat the question. So the question was, how do you convert Windows Server 2003 servers?
When they're booting from
SCSI drives. Well, okay, so yes, that is a problem. You're converting machines that runs on a virtual server, right?
Of VMware.
Yeah. So the solution accelerator will fix that, as far as I know. Yeah, so the boot drive will be the IDE drive. I think that, because I haven't done it in System Center Virtual Machine Manager, but as far as I know, they do the same thing. The first disk they have, if that is a SCSI drive, will be connected to the IDE interface anyway, because that's the only way they can boot. If you do disk to VHD or any of these tools, you need to create the first drive as an IDE drive, and that will solve the problem too. As long as you have the integration components installed for either Windows Server 2003 or Server 2008 R2, and well, as long as they are installed, there's no issue. Okay, so yes, so the question is, it will blue screen. It depends. If you use this conversion utility, it will not, because that will realize that you saw the picture where it had no issues found. If I'm trying to do that with a machine that only has SCSI drives and it doesn't have the IDE driver, it will, under the issue, tell me that we are missing the default IDE driver. You need to take the CAB file from Windows and put that in the following folder, and they will install the IDE driver on the fly. So it will have that when it starts up the first time, and then they will install the integration components anyway. So with the solution accelerator, they fix it, and with the System Center Virtual Machine Manager converter, they fix it too. If you use disk to VHD or any other tool, they don't fix it because they only convert the disk, and that's not good enough. So if you are forced to use something else than the virtual machine converter or system center, well, the only thing you can do then is convert the drive and then actually mount that VHD drive. Open the registry hive and with mild force put in the drivers and update the registry. Easiest way is to steal the registry keys from another machine and paste it in. It's not beautiful, but it works. There's a book written on Hyper-V 2008, the old version, that describes the method, how you do it manually. And I've seen a couple of blog posts on that too. But basically, with no tool, just a conversion of the disk, then you need to mount the drive, inject the drivers, update the hive, and then you can fire it up. It's like doing a surgery with a chainsaw, pretty much, but it works. It's not beautiful. It's a good question, though. Any other questions? Okay, so the question is, how would the roadmap be for the P2V integration? It's going to be post version number one, but since this is a solution accelerator team, they release pretty much new version on a constant basis. I don't have a timeline. You can, of course, have a chat with the one of the team members of that. But my best guess is that, And this is very important to understand, since this solution accelerator is new, now is a very good time to tell them what you need to have in it, because they are basing all the priorities based on what people tell them. So you need to tell them that you need to have a P2V tomorrow, or you can't sell 4 million machines. Then it will be up in the list. It's very simple. That's how you do it. Now I have a blocking issue. Oh, we're going to fix that. Other questions? Okay, so here's a question too. Did you learn anything? Okay. Was it? It's on its way. Was it worth the time to be here? Okay. Do you enjoy TechEd? So the question is, I'm trying to do a P2V or a V2V, but for some reason it says the tool is installed and it's not installed and things like that. So if I'm doing it V2V, I'm using the P2V tool to use a V2V, I always take a snapshot on a turned off machine before that, because that's the easiest way to fix it. Otherwise, yes, you need to use sc.exe to remove that registry from that tool. It's normally a timeout issue when it takes either too long time for that component to install, or if it's pending installation that is behind. So if you really want to do a P2V on the machine and, you know, you really want this to go through, you don't have time with anything, make sure that you do a reboot before you even try to do that, and look so you don't have any pending file replacements. You can use the sysinternals tool to check for that, because there is a small chance that some components that will be modified is, you know, I can't be modified because I'm a pending installation and I need to reboot, and the conversion tool doesn't understand that. So that is something that prohibits that from working. But it's either timing issue or pending file replacements or reboot schedule or something in the way. So the easiest way is to reboot, make sure it starts up clean, wait 5 minutes before you do the conversion, or if it's a virtual machine, turn it off, do a snapshot, power it on, and do the conversion. Yeah, but and that's true. So Microsoft tells you to remove the service. But there is another way to remove a service. You use regedit and you use command line sc, because with sc you can remove, modify, and do whatever you like with any kind of services. It's a very brute force tool since it can manipulate basically anything at all. So it's like ADC edit. You can't modify the Active Directory. You want to bet? I have ADC edit. I can do whatever I like with Active Directory. No, yeah, that's not supported. No, I know. It doesn't matter. So I've been to those situations. I try to avoid them by making sure that the target machine is as healthy as possible. And since I told you that I always uninstall all these hardware-related stuff before, it's going to be a reboot of that machine a couple of times before I'm ready anyway. I'm cleaning up all the mess they have in the installer just to get rid of as much as I can. It's a good question, though. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, P2V is, and it's a comment, but P2V is a really nice way of having a disaster recovery to prevent, to be forced to do that. But at the same time, it's very important when you do P2V conversion. And I need to be honest, I don't do P2V conversion or V2V conversions of everything just because I can. I will never, ever do a V2V or a P2V on a domain controller. There's no point. It's so much easier to just put up a new one, rename the old one, and inherit the IP addresses and uninstall the old one. I mean, I use P2V and V2V and conversion of virtual machines for the purpose of, this is the only method that makes sense. But if I do have other methods that is easier, I use them instead. I never done a let's migrate everything P2V, V2V, or move over. It's like, really? No, not really. Let's start using the brain for a couple of minutes before we do that insane. Yeah. It's like people do everything. We're going to have backup on everything. No, you're not going to have backup of everything. Everybody doesn't have the medium-sized T-shirt either. I mean, it's different, right? So you need to be a bit sensitive when you do this stuff. Oh, it's done. It couldn't uninstall the Microsoft virtual machine converter. How strange. It does happen from time to time. So I need to go in to play with that machine. My time is up in less than 5 minutes. If you do have any questions to me or to the team behind this solution accelerator, feel free to step up. Otherwise, fill out the evaluations. Please do that, otherwise I can't come back. And thank you for coming and staying at this session. Thank you so much.